This is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, the girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this week, we want to introduce an additional member of the team, Deuce is Wild. Say hi, Deuce.
Hello.
He's going to be joining us for this special recording of our podcast, which is an actual Skype cast. We are recording this live in front of an audience on the internet. Yeah. It's live to tape. It's live to tape.
Yes, it is.
We've got a few members in our little Skype cast room, and we're just going to be talking about anime and video games today.
Yep, so here we are.
So here we are, and here we go. Episode 15, because you got to have friends.
Because you got to have friends.
Yeah, we need them.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Warcraft. I don't want to talk about Warcraft.
That's another podcast.
That's totally another podcast.
Oh man, I could talk about that all day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you could. But we're going to take a moment now. I'm sure you could, but we're going to take a moment now.
I could.
And have a little pause. A little pause for the cause.
Okay. Waiting to exhale.
That was a good movie, but that's another podcast, too.
That's another podcast, too. Okay.
I said a pause, right. People. A pause.
So anyway, what do we got for business today, Ninja?
We've got a lot of business today. Oh, my God, do we have a lot of business. Yeah, let me dive in. First of all, you got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, home of the best girl gaming and anime podcast ever.
Yeah.
We kind of rock, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
You got to keep commenting on all of the articles that we post because we love reading your comments. We like to know if you agree or disagree with whatever points of view that we have. We hope that you agree, but if you disagree, that's okay too. You know, everybody's got to have an opinion.
Well, I have an opinion.
I have several opinions at several points in the day, but you know, what can you do? What can you do?
Mm.
Also, we want you to keep entering our weekly sweepstakes. You could win candy. Free candy.
Free.
Or a t-shirt, because, you know, we randomly do give those things away. Once a month, we give away a t-shirt.
Time to start thinking about when we're going to do that, too.
Yeah, and all you got to do is just come to the website, comment on a couple things, or fill out the form, or leave us a voicemail message at our toll-free number, which is 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
And it's free love for us.
It's free love for us, and we enjoy the free love, because I'm kind of broke right now. Between the Xbox and the games and
the live subscription. I just had to pay my WoW bill.
Yeah,
so I'm a little broke.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So that's the little bit of normal business. The additional business is that the website is going really strong. I gotta give it up to you people coming and visiting. We love that you're visiting. We love building stuff for you. We opened our glossary this past week, and we've gotten a lot of positive response about that. So you can go to the website and check out the glossary. And, you know, if you particularly have a term that you don't see listed that you want to add, send us a submission. If we use it, you get free entries in the sweepstakes. You can't go wrong there, people.
Look at that. You don't even have to even comment to get free stuff if you know how to do it right.
You just got to work the system. And we're making it easy for you to work the system. So check out the glossary. Make some comments. Make submissions. We're also starting a new gallery, and we're calling this gallery Fresh Picks. And basically what Fresh is are the friends of Electric Sisterhood. And so if you've got an image of you, say, oh, I don't know, having a LAN party or a movie marathon of anime at your place, then, you know, all you got to do is send us some images of it. And if we post them on the website, again, you can be entered to win free stuff. Now, anybody that sends us an image, you get 4 weeks of entries. That's a whole month of entries, which means you could win a t-shirt just for sending us some gaming images. Now, how sweet is that? I don't think it can get any better than that.
It's really pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. It's pretty hot. And we're also, this is a new one. We're also now opening up submissions for people to send us their AMVs. Because I know how big the AMV thing is, and I know that the anime fans love making them. Well, if you make one, or two, or three, or four, or five, or six, or seven, send it to us. If we put it up in our gallery, again, you get entered to win the free stuff for 4 weeks, and you get to tell people I've been published on the web.
Yeah.
You can. You, okay, yeah, I've been asked, what about 8? Yeah, you can send 8. 10 is really going to be the limit. If 10, and then we're going to have to talk. But send us the submissions, people. We want to see them. We want to see them.
So please do. I don't think there's anything on our site that you guys would not like to, you know, read or enjoy. We go out of our way to make sure you love what we do.
Exactly.
And we do love it.
Exactly.
We do love it.
So, anyway, the last thing I've got to announce as far as business goes is our candy bitch. I'm not giving away candy this week. I'm going to give away a t-shirt.
Surprise!
Yep. Yeah, wow. I'm giving away a t-shirt because, you know, I'm like that. It's time. It's time. So, Nutsy Waterbelly, you got a t-shirt, bitch!
Oh, you got a t-shirt, bitch!
Nice.
Yeah.
These are limited edition t-shirts. We will not be selling these shirts in the store.
Yeah, these shirts are not going to be available in the store, which is almost done, by the way.
I know. I'm almost so excited. Done.
So, Nutsy, you're handcrafted by somebody in China, I think. I'm not sure. Black t-shirt is on its way.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, yes. So take a picture when you get it and send it to us, and we'll put it on the website because, you know, we're good like that.
We are good like that.
Yeah. So, anywho, that's all the business that I have for right now. So, Panda, I'm going to give you the mic. What are you going to do with it?
Well, I'm going to use it to bring forth something kooky, something fun, something that wasn't meant to be such a big craze, but is. You know, I've watched a lot of anime in my life. Now, mind you, I'm not very old, so my life hasn't been very far, but still, you know. And a lot of my stuff is a little serious. You know, I've got some saccharine or some cutesy stuff, but, you know, sometimes you want something that makes no sense. Something just fun. Something that you really don't have to think about in order to enjoy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for those who haven't, you know, paid attention to this series, this one will do it for you. It is Excel Saga. It is out there. It is raunchy. It is crazy. And I mean, if you can master what this series is about, it's not supposed to make sense. It keeps switching up on you, you know. You've got your main character, or you think is the main character. She looks like, in the first episode, like she's coming out of high school. She really doesn't make, you know, much sense vocally. And she gets hit by a car, and she dies. You know, and everyone is just making
that's
it.
Pleasant.
Wow. Like, yeah. So literally, you know, she's walking out of school. It's graduation day. She looks pretty happy. She gets mauled over by this car, and everyone's just kind of watching her, like, bleed out. You know, and they're like, wow, she's really dead. But she was the main character.
Present.
Yeah, I know. You know, they're just like, what, wow, it was her graduation. She's dead. Well, she's the main character. What do we do? There's no story without her. Enter the Will of the Macrocosm. Her spirit dies, and there's this giant circle, and it kind of looks like if you looked up at a star, you know, like the starry night, and it's this circle, and she's got arms, and she has this really sexy woman voice. You know, and she's just like, I'm the Will of the Macrocosm, and I can set back time, so I will bring you back to life. You know, and this character is so random. She shows up at the oddest times, and she always resets whatever has just happened.
Okay.
Usually something 10 times as worse happens when she does this. So, you know, Excel, who is the girl that we find out got hit by the car, you know, now alive again, and she works for this organization called Across. Oh, there's lots of blood. Lots of blood. And she works for this man called Lord Il Palazzo. And she is, like, her voice is so shrill. And she talks really, 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 really super fast. And she makes, yes, he's a lord. I don't know why, you know. And he's in a basement of, like, a building. And if I was a lord, I wouldn't be in the basement. But regardless, that's where these animators wanted to go. You know, and he has, you know, this plan where he wants to take over the, no, not like a Jewish smoker, but just annoying, horribly annoying, and very energetic. And she's madly in love with Lord Il Palazzo, and she wants to make his ideals come true. well, you know, what are his ideals? He wants to take over the world.
Don't they always?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, instead of just trying to take over the world as a whole, he wants to take over a country, but then, you know, he wants to start really, really small, so he wants to take over one city. So he wants to take over the world.
Well, you should start small. The world domination plans start one city, one township at a time, really.
One city at a time. So the story takes place in the city of F. Go figure.
Okay.
And, you know, so she's his subordinate. She worships him. He sends her on all these missions that have nothing to do with world conquest. You know, like he tells her, you need to go observe, you know, how, you know, the average man lives. So you have to go get a job. So in one of the episodes, she's actually a traffic instructor, you know, like near a construction site.
Okay.
So she's wearing, you know, the uniform. She's got the, like, red little, like, waving sticks, and she's just waving them around. And she starts getting caught up on how good of a job she's doing. She's not paying attention to where she's directing traffic.
Okay.
And eventually there's, like, this 20-car pileup in front of the construction site. So, I mean, no, she doesn't get hit by a car again. I know, I'm sorry. But I didn't make the series. I just watched it. So anyway, so she meets another character in this story. Now, mind you, supposedly everyone's interlocked, but it's so far-fetched that it really doesn't make sense. So she meets this immigrant worker named Pedro.
Uh-huh.
And Pedro's a lost soul.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a Spanish man, and he works very hard for his sexy wife and his son, Sendora. And the sexy wife doesn't have a name.
The name
is just sexy.
Okay, just sexy wife. And I can dig it.
And, you know, so he left America to come to Japan to work hard so that he can make money so his wife doesn't have to do anything and so his son can play soccer.
Okay.
So he's in Japan. He's working on this construction site, you know, and he meets Excel. And Excel's like, you must work super hard for the people that you love. I'm working very hard for the man I love. And he's like, oh, yes. So they bond a friendship. And there's a fire at the construction site. And Pedro's running out because he's trying to usher everybody out, and he drops his picture of Sandora, you know, his son.
Uh-huh.
So he runs back to the burning building to get it, and a piece of iron falls on him, and he can't move. You know, and everyone's kind of outside the building like, man, Pedro's going to die. Someone should do something. Has anyone called the fire? Like, and no one's doing anything. Like, they're not even being, like, concerned. They're just like, wow, he's going to die in a massive ball of flame.
Oh, that's
like,
nice.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
You know,
pleasant
and like
people.
He's like, yeah, they're not really. So, you know, they're like, oh, they're like, you know, and he's like, oh no, I'm never going to see my sexy wife and Sendora again. No.
Not
and
that's my like, sexy wife.
And that's his voice. That's how he says everything. And he always ends it off with like a no. You know, cause it's just so funny. And okay. So as he's dying, don't you know, here comes Will of the Magrocosm. You know, and she's about to go, oh, well, I can reset you. But then she's like, oh, my soap is on. Never mind. And she floats away. So he dies. She doesn't reset him. She lets him die.
People don't kill people. Soapies kill people.
You know, the will of the Magrocosm lives to let him die. So, you know, and now, you know, the story just completely cuts because now we're no longer focused on Pedro. You know, and now it's back to Excel, and of course, Excel doesn't, you know, really understand the concept of why people work. She goes back to Il Palazzo and tells them, you know, well, they work just so that they can erect buildings. There's really no attachment and whatever, and, you know, we should just hump, you know, and he...
Oh, okay, yeah.
And,
down.
Yeah, she pretty much, you know, every other episode, she's telling about how much she wants to do, you know, explicit things with Lord Il Palazzo. You know,
okay.
And, you know, no story, you know, no heroine is without a sidekick.
Right.
You know, you're kind of thinking, well, it is Excel, so who's going to be Excel's sidekick?
Uh-huh.
And here comes this, they kind of jumped into space, and you meet this, like...
Wait, space?
Space, the final frontier.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And there's a spaceship, and there's a space butler...
Uh-huh.
And he's got this package that has this, it's very confusing. This is why it makes no sense. And, you know, and he's got this casket that has this girl in it, who's supposedly a Margian princess.
Uh-huh.
You know, and these aliens are coming to Earth because they want to take over Earth, you know, and they're called the Poochoo because that's the sound they make. They go, Poochoo. And they're very cute and they're very cuddly until you kill them. And and when you kill them, they make the ugliest face and they start sounding like really old men. Like you hit them, they're like, oh, why do you kill me so easily? Like, it's so stupid, you know, and, you know, and they accidentally drop the casket on Earth, you know, and it opens up and, you know, Hyatt is the girl who's inside the casket, you know, and she's very polite and she's very coy and she's very, you know, kind of sounds like she could be a princess, but her body is so frail that she dies every 4 minutes.
Okay.
She dies all the time. Yes, it's. You know, it doesn't make any sense, you know, so she kind of falls into the basement where Lord El Palazzo's hanging out, you know, and he's like, great, Excel needed someone to, like, watch her, so you can be her subordinate. So, you know, Hyatt's, you know, like, yes, Lord El Palazzo, you know, and Hyatt's cute, you know,
right.
Like, when Excel's not going off in one of her, like, rants or whatever, you know, she's okay, but Hyatt's, you know, the gorgeous one. And she's kind of got bigger boobs than, you know, Excel. You know, so Excel's kind of like, you know, what's going on with Lord El Palazzo and, you know, Hyatt. You know, she's always kind of watching that. But, like, it's, you know, 26 episodes of pure and utter mayhem. You know, and they keep jumping stories. So, you know, and at the beginning of every episode, it's called Excel Saga.
Just in case anybody missed that.
Just in case, Excel Saga. And, pretty much with every episode, like I said, there's 26 in all, they change the style of the anime, you know, and...
Oh, I hate that.
They do. And they announce it at the end of at the beginning of each episode, just what they're going to do. So, and some of the characters in the story are actually representations of the animator. Yeah, of the creators, yeah. So, they're sitting there, and they're like, oh, well, we got to get this okayed by... this guy. And the guy's like, do we have it approved? And he, you know, raises his thumb like, yes. And he stamps it. And he's like, I, Koshi Ricto, decide to turn, you know, Excel Saga into a sports anime. And then that whole episode is like an emphasis on a sports anime. So Excel is like, you know, a coach for a baseball team. And she totally corrupts the baseball team.
Oh,
you know, and
for the
goes horribly, horribly wrong.
Okay, it sounds like the series is the type of series that if I was explaining it to somebody else, they'd say, are you high?
Yeah.
No, really, are you high?
This series, I think you would probably get a better understanding if you were high.
Definitely, yeah.
If you were high or if you were drunk. Not that I'm encouraging narcotic use.
Oh, of course not, because we don't do that here at ESH. No. No, we don't encourage that at all.
The reason why you won't find any torrents of it is because it's been licensed, and now once it's been licensed, it's kind of hard to find. But anyway, you know, and, you know, each episode is just, you know, you really can't take it seriously.
Okay. Well, we
like, there is not one episode where you're going to get anything, you know, insightful. The series isn't meant to make sense. You know, it's just supposed to be that whack job humor, like, if you saw back in the day with, like, you know, like, MTV, Liquid Television, like, stuff that wasn't...
Miss Liquid Television.
It's supposed to just be a random collection of stuff that just, you know, I think the creator just was, like, he was fucked up on weed and said, you know what, I'm gonna draw anime. And he did, and he couldn't figure out a plot or a storyline, so he just threw a whole bunch of shit together... and just did it up. And people took to it like ducks to water.
But you know what was the best part about it to me? And it was years ago when I watched it. But didn't they have like a little pet or something?
Yes.
At the end of it.
Talk about it.
At the end of it. You know what I'm talking about? The ending credits?
Yes. I didn't get to mention, but Excel comes across a dog. And actually, there's a couple of episodes where they actually go off and the storyline jumps to the dog. So you see everything from the dog's perception.
Okay.
You know, and Excel's hungry. Because, you know, at one point, Excel doesn't have a job.
Uh-huh.
So she's like, and I need to find a way to eat, you know, and she has this dog.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, you kind of of this food. You know, and it was really good behind cholesterol. So I'm going to name you that, and you're going to be my emergency food supply. This entire series, if there's any one concrete plot, this poor dog is, you know, eventually going to be Excel's dinner. Like, she's always like, I wonder what would taste good with Menchie.
You don't eat your pets, people.
Make her into Hapshi or
you
whatever.
Don't eat your pets.
In just about every episode, he's fearing for his life because he knows he could go at any moment.
Oh, my gosh. That's
like, you know,
wrong.
And it's a girl. And, you know, and she's just like, you know,
that's
she's
right.
Like, and, like, she's always, like, passing out. You know, and, like they gave her two episodes in the series that are all about her. And she breaks out of the little house, the apartment, in both of them. And in the first one, she meets this whole other pack of dogs, but they all can talk except her.
Oh, yeah.
And he's all like, and one of them's like, my name's Wolf, and I'm the leader of this pack, and we'll help you find that nice old man. Because it shows a backstory that Menchie used to live with this old man, but the old man was like, oh, I'm going to die soon, so I need to bring you somewhere where someone else can find you and love you and whatever. So she's trying to get back up this mountain to meet this old man. So, you know, you've got Wolf, who's like the really attractive, like, you know, rebel dog, you know, and you've got, you know, the bulldog with the one eye patch, who's like, I'm just this big dog, you know, whatever. And then there's this, a Scottish terrier with these glasses, and he's called the professor, you know, and then there's a Chinese chow. So, like, and they all run around, and they all end up dying, pretty much. And then she takes out, like, this Gatling gun and threatens to, like, take out the old guy. And she actually shoots him at the end of the episode. So,
okay.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, the series, like I said, was not meant to be taken seriously. I actually, when I first came into this series, watched the last episode.
Uh-huh.
And the last episode is actually, they call it Excel Saga the Musical. You know, actually a lot of the people in the last episode are singing or at one part are like singing a little bit, but not really. Like, you know, at one time Excel is actually singing about her favorite things, and a lot of them are like really gross. Like, she's like, I like throwing up, and like, it's like gross.
Oh,
and,
ew.
And at one point. Yeah, and at one point, her and Hyatt switch bodies. So, like, you know, Excel is in Hyatt's body, and Hyatt's in Excel's body. Now, mind you, Hyatt dies, like, every 4 minutes. So Excel's like, oh, my God, I don't know how to take this. Oh, my God, my body's, like, convulsing, and I die. And, like, it's crazy. And they kind of go a little raunchy because at one point they're trying to get their bodies back, and they're like, well, if this was a hentai, we'd be able to do it like this. And, like, they start, like, messing around, like, on a bed, and, like, they're rolling around, and, you know, you're kind of like, whoa. But then they kind of turn into a giant mecha, which I never did understand the point of. But,
okay. Didn't they bring in somebody to hunt her down at one time? Some other lady?
Yes, I believe so. I can't.
They wanted some lady to hunt her down, I think.
I mean, it's pure madness, you
okay.
know, and,
all right,
but
well,
it's fun, it's not right. something, it's not something that, you know, I don't think too many people wouldn't enjoy, I mean, unless okay. you're a serious anime lover who's like, I need to have a storyline, I need to have a main character, I need to have, you know, like a sequential order, then this anime definitely isn't for you.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't even look at it in the store if that's the kind of person you are.
All right. Well, I got somebody else who wants the mic. So, Skype, you're live.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
Hey.
It's going pretty good.
Hey.
So, I'm thinking maybe it makes sense in Japanese. Maybe before they edited it for the foreign market, maybe it was sequential. But then afterwards, once they did edit it for the foreign market and dub it, it totally lost all sense. Maybe they just did a really bad job of editing it.
Well, the whole series was meant to be, it was supposed to be random because they were going off of the manga, and the manga makes no sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, the creator just wanted to, I think he just wanted to draw girls. He just wanted
a Japanese guy that just wanted to draw girls? No.
Yeah, he just wanted to draw girls. He just wanted to draw, you know, he wanted to make spoofs off of other animes. You know, he really didn't want to create, he wanted to create something original without being original. You know, so if you read the manga, you'd just be as fucked up in the manga as the anime is. So it's just, that was just his pitch. Because this creator also went and made another anime called Pretty Pretty Poemi.
Oh.
Pretty Poemi with me.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of that. That didn't make no sense. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. See, that makes more sense to me now.
So, yeah. And, you know, he kind of takes the same drawing style as, you know, from Excel Saga. And actually, two of the characters look like younger versions, not virgins.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about looking like younger virgins. That's a different podcast.
That's a totally different podcast.
Okay. Well, the question has been asked, have you ever compared the episode synopsis of the Japanese to English to see if it was the same story or not?
I have not gone as far with that, but I know if this is something that people really want to know much about, I do have outside contacts who are quite elitists in, you know, keeping, you know, the true essence of the story and or series, like, okay, in their back pocket.
Well, maybe we'll do a feature on the website then about it, and we'll compare the translations from the Japanese and the English, and we'll put a piece up on the website about it. Because I would be interested, actually, to know if that's the case.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point, but I think the Japanese version is probably going to be just as wacky as the English version.
If not, like more so, really.
Yeah, it's like Panda said, that's what the whole series was centered around. It was just wackiness all over. You know, it wasn't meant to be serious, whether it was in English or Japanese. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've ever seen, I know they were featuring this on demand, or at least around here they were, maybe 2 years ago, and there was an anime series called Colorless.
Oh, Colorful. Wait, Colorful. Yeah, Colorful. I've seen Colorful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they were running it on G4 back when they were doing, what do you call it? When they were calling it Barbed Wire Biscuit.
Late at night, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. That was their late night block to try and run against Adult Swim. So they had that on there, and they would put it on like every other night. And then they would put on the Happy Friends stuff.
Oh, yes.
Twice a week. And so I ended up watching it by accident, and I was like, why am I looking at all of these girls' panties?
Yeah, literally, it's fan service, but it was random stuff.
Yeah, it was random stuff, but the majority of the stuff focused around, like, guys in glasses, you know, that you can't see their eyes, and steam lines coming from their heads as they were trying to see panties, and I was like, okay, Dungeon Channel.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's that same kind of idea that it was random.
Right.
Completely, utterly random, even though there was a central, you know, theme. And, I mean, in the Excel Saga, even though it was completely random, you know, the main point was that one guy was trying to take over the world one city at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know if I turn it on, put it to play, and put the volume on mute and just watch it, I can tell, even with no volume, that it's just
It's mayhem.
Yeah.
It's mayhem in DVD and VHS form.
Well, a little bit of mayhem is always good.
But anyway, you know, just to make the point, it's just something funny. It's just something to watch on a rainy day with your crack pipe and your pimp.
and a bag of chips.
and you'll need the chips. So, I mean, on the kookiness factor, I definitely give it like a 9.
Okay.
I enjoy it. I love random shit. So this was all up this was up my alley.
Right.
But if you're a serious, you know, anime person,
if you're the type of
like
person that really likes a direct plot.
Yeah. If you're looking for Dragon Ball Z or Lane, this is not along those lines.
Gotcha. Okay. I can dig it. I can follow it.
But, I mean, overall, I liked it. And actually, ADV just put it out in a nice thin, slim pack.
Okay.
For cheap.
Okay.
Because when they first released it, it was in the bigger packs. It was rocking around $100.
I
got it for $99.99 at Best Buy.
Nice.
And you know, I'm all about the prizes, biatch. And that's all I have for you guys today. So I guess it's now Ninja's turn to go and tell us what she's been digging around in.
Okay, well, cool. Thank you for passing me the mic. You want to hear what I got? You want to know?
Let's see what you got.
Okay. All right. Well, let me bring it.
I believe the mic was passed to you.
Yeah. Ninja? Yeah. Yeah. You know how distraught I've been about E3 and all the changes that are going on with E3. Because, you know, I got a little depressed, I got to say.
I cried.
Because, you know, part of the reason why we started ESH is because we were going to go to E3.
I know. We were going to go to E3.
Okay. There was no doubt about it. We were going to E3. We were going to Anime Anaheim. We were going to a couple of the conventions down in Texas. We were going to do it all.
We were just going to go.
I was about to
crack open my piggy bank.
You know, I was already looking for rooms close to the convention center next year. Already. Yeah. And then they go and say, no, we're going to revamp the whole show. And so now, you know, it's going to be invitation only. And we're going to try and make it more intimate for the media outlets. And I started panicking.
I panicked.
Big time. Big time. And I was blaming all kinds of things and pointing the fingers everywhere I possibly could. Because, you know, every gamer dreamt about going to E3. And, I actually made a couple of friends through MySpace, oddly enough, who are
that's
actually
the place to do it. Find your friends,
yeah.
Stalkers,
yeah, friends and stalkers in one space at one time. But
free,
yeah, no charge. You know, that's the important thing. It's, you make stuff free, and the people will come.
Yes.
But the friend of mine, and I don't want to give up their name because I don't really want to get them fired. Was talking to me.
Yeah, we don't get friends fired on this show.
Yeah, yeah, friends don't get friends fired.
that'd be a good bumper sticker.
That's another podcast. But this guy, we were going back and forth talking about the gaming industry as a whole, and he had read the piece that I put together on E3 and was like, look, this is what really happened. He goes, this is the reason why E3 died. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, basically, E3 died about 3 years ago, and he says that it happened when the ESA, the people who throw E3, the Electronic, Software Association, allowed E3 to have retailers there. So basically, that means that, you know, up until that point, only developers and the media were able to go to E3, and then they opened it up, so now your Best Buys, your GameStops, your EB Games people were allowed into the convention to have space. Well, those guys aren't really going to want anything to do with the developers, because the developers aren't actually in the chain as far as stuff that gets to them. So you had people who were really in there just to sell product and really didn't know anything about the product, and so they were trying to demo stuff, and it just didn't work. So
basically, somewhere along the line, somebody wasn't getting enough money?
Basically, along the line, what happened was too many people were at the event to make it what it was. You know, E3 was basically, he said, set up to be a structure where the developers could demo their products directly to media outlets so that they could then put their spin on stuff and present it to us. And so that's why the lines were, you know, shorter then. You didn't have to wait 2 and 3 hours in order to get a 10-minute demo, but you could actually sit and talk with the people on the floor about the demo that they were presenting, what the game was supposed to be like, and that kind of stuff. Instead, what's happened is because all the retailers were there, and because so many different branches of media, because looking at their criteria, it's ridiculous how easy it actually is to get into E3. If you can make letterhead business cards and have a byline, you can meet some criteria to get into the expo. And it was supposed to keep gamers out. It was never really meant to have, you know, people like us before we became ESH in. And
sucks.
So what happened, it was designed to be a trade show for the trade. And so what has happened was because people, you know, basically, yeah, true, hacked their way in, the demo lines got way too long. nobody was, you know, actually really happy by the time they got a hands-on demo, and so it became harder and harder to please people. So the big three, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, had to throw more elaborate parties and bigger events, and they actually started holding their own side events before E3 so that they could get the media in and spend that, you know, hands-on time with them that they had been doing before E3. And so that's why they kind of threw their hands up after this year, because Microsoft spent nearly like $25 or $27 million just on their E3 event. And they all just said, you know what, it's better for us to just throw our own media events throughout the year than to do this, because too many people are spending too much time to try and get their hands on a demo, and then they're jaded because they've been waiting for 3 hours. You know, after that amount of time, you have to see something truly spectacular in order to appreciate it. And our systems and our money and our finances are just way too stretched to not be able to get a tactile result. So that's what really killed it off. He's like, because, you know, before, he's like, you used to get free shit up the wazoo. He goes, everybody walked out with just bags and bags of shit. Games, demos, tchotchkes, t-shirts, pictures, everything. He goes, now a very select few people on the trade show floor actually are handed free stuff. See, I didn't know that. I thought everybody that went to E3 walked out with a swag bag, and evidently that's not the case. And so they want to get back to that. That's what the ESA wants to get to. And I can understand that, because after having Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft say, no, we're not going to do it, they had to do something different, because otherwise that would be the end of the event. So I think what you're going to see happen is that E3 is going to restructure itself back to what it used to be around 1998, 99, and early 2000. Where it is going to be a media event, and then you're going to see some other trade show come up. Because I've been really thinking about this, and, you know, what really needs to happen, I think, is that there needs to be 3 trade shows to really cover everybody and keep everybody happy. There needs to be...
Yeah, to keep me happy.
Yeah, but seriously, there needs to be 3 trade shows. There needs to be a trade show for the developers and for the publishers to be able to interact with the media so they can present what games are coming out with, what systems are coming out with, and make their announcements and then interact so that we get a broad spectrum of what's coming out. You know, not just Microsoft's opinion, but, you know, somebody's, you know, opinion, like an ESH or an IGN or a Destructoid's opinion of what they saw hands-on. Because I can trust IGN and Destructoid with what they say as far as a hands-on demo. And then we kind of need like a trade show that is just for developers to interact with other developers, you know, like GDC, which does just that. And then we need another trade show that's really for the gamers and that allows the developers, if they choose to interact with gamers so that they can present their demos to us. I mean, you know, Microsoft has their little bus that they go around and tour the country here and there and stop and let, you know, gamers, if they know about it, come up and test some games, and you get some free stuff, and they're like, hype up our game. But what they really need to do, other than have a bus that nobody ever really knows about and just kinds of finds by accident at a Walmart or whatever, they should have a focused gamer con where Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, if they want to, can show up with their games before they're being released, but just in a smaller venue, on a more local venue. And that's where you have the retailers show up, because the retailers really only need to deal with customers. They don't need to deal with the developers, because they're not going to sell games or Nyko peripherals to the developers. Developers already have that shit. They really need to focus on gamers. And so I think that if we have this 3-tiered system, I think that everybody will end up being happy, because then we can go to GamerCon, but we can also go to the E3 convention. So we can try stuff hands-on before the GamerCon to let people know what to look for at the GamerCon. I think that would be the solution, because this past week...
I wish they could do that.
Yeah, I really think so, because this past week, like, a lot of people were talking about the GDC becoming the next E3. And I was like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, it doesn't fit, because the GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference, is really a conference for the code geeks to get together with other code geeks and talk about physics engines and better ways to come up with new algorithms to make polys float faster. That's what GDC is for. We have no business at GDC. Okay, my physics and math wasn't all that great.
Neither was mine.
So I know I don't belong there at all. And I don't think that the people that were making E3 long and arduous to go to belong there either. It's really a resource for the developers. And so to me, it just didn't make sense for it to become the next E3.
Yeah, I'll probably be over there with the same look on my face that I had while I was watching Excel Saga.
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on? Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I know dick about floating point ratios, and I'd kind of like to keep it that way.
Not a clue.
Yeah,
I don't think you'd enjoy, like, you're supposed to enjoy Excel Saga. I don't think you'd enjoy this particular column with that particular, you know,
no, because topic. Unless you know anything about the mechanics of what goes into game engineering, it's not the conference for you.
Yeah.
And so it just didn't make sense to me. And then I was like, well, somebody's got to do something, because basically there's an imbalance in the force. You know, you've got the thing for the media and you've got the thing for the developers. Well, what about the thing for the gamers? Something has to be created and balance things out. And I was really interested to see that this week the CEA, the Consumer Electronics Association, the people who throw CES, which is a huge, huge convention. It makes the lines at E3 look like nothing, because CES is just crazy. But they have said that they're talking to some of the people in the gaming industry, because they've been approached by them on creating another event that would happen either before or after CES that would just be game-focused, and that would be something that would be open to entrepreneurs, small house game developers, or any developers that wanted to go there, and the public. And I think that would be perfect, because it would then fit the three-tiered thing. So you'd have the CEA event, which they say they're going to, if it turns out that they're going to do it, and they're committed to doing it as long as people in the industry are committed to actually going to it, throwing this event either in Las Vegas or in Los Angeles, which is perfect, I think, because it's necessary. Yeah. We have to have something to hold on to. We have to have some place that we can go and at least get the feeling like we're getting to see something before everybody else.
We need a place that keeps us off the pole.
Yes, we got to stay off the pole, people. You know, you got to keep the gamers off the poles, because gamers on poles is bad. Gamers on poles is bad.
Yeah.
It can be dangerous.
Yeah. Somebody could get hurt. You know, if those things aren't, you know, waxed properly or cleaned properly, there's infections and
yeah, I was just going to say, you can get crazy shit from a pole.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's nasty. And we want to keep you healthy, because a healthy gamer is a happy gamer.
I'm a happy gamer.
Yeah, I'm a
happy
gamer.
I'm a healthy gamer.
Yep.
I'm a healthy gamer.
And that's the way we got to keep it. So that's all I have on the convention thing. Obviously, I'd like to hear other people's opinions. So if you have anything that you want to add, you can send us an email through our form on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com. Or when we put this podcast up, you can comment directly on the podcast page and really let us know if we're on the right track here or if you disagree. I'm curious to see what other people think, because I think it's really a positive thing if we have this three-tiered thing. Like, but I was really depressed for a while about the E3 thing, but now after really thinking about it and talking to my source and looking at how things are shaping up, I think that this will actually be better and healthier for the industry as a whole, because now, you know, we'll have something that's really focused on the gamer, that's focused on the consumer, as opposed to E3, which is really focused on, you know, hey, look at our shit. Aren't we awesome?
Yeah. Who can make the most noise and who has the brightest lights?
Exactly. You know.
And all that rickety-rackety.
Yeah, and the booth babes, you know. We can hire good-looking models. Whee! You know, I think that it's kind of gotten away from what it was supposed to be. So I think that with this restructure, I think that we'll actually end up with something that's much better in the end for us, because it'll allow other up-and-coming game developers and publishers to get together, and that's just good news for gamers, because that means more games and more interesting games, and I'm down for more interesting games.
I'm down for more I already have an interactive game. But I'm down for more interactive games.
Yes.
Also means better reviews on games.
Absolutely.
Spending a lot of money on those things now, and I kind of like to know what I'm paying for in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's good or not before I drop, $60-$70 on it? Or if it's a PS3, what they're talking like $70-$90 for a game?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's crazy. So I kind of like to know what I'm paying for in advance. So maybe it could be a good thing if we get more out of it, more information out of it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it has the potential for that to happen. And any time that there's that potential, I think that it's a good thing for gamers and for the industry on a whole. I really do.
Yeah.
So that's
I concur.
That's my stuff on the... on the conference thing. I don't want to get up on my soapbox, but I put a lot of thought into it. It took me an hour to type up my notes. I like went to Wikipedia and everything. It was crazy.
I've just resigned to the fact that I'm never going to go. Just when the dream was right in my grasp, the powers that be snatch it away from me.
Yeah, but you know that there's the probability that you probably won't go to the E3 that we all new and love.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a GamerCon that's going to come up that will bring back all the stuff that we loved about E3 and wanted to visit and see and do in another form.
Because yeah. I think if we as gamers make enough noise about it, then they'll give us something because they want our money.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's what the bottom line is. They want profits. And if gamers go, we want a con, we will go.
Don't spend it.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. If the consumer actually jumps up and says, you know what, we want the violence and the sex in our video games, and we want a con where we can go and test out the newest, latest, and greatest displays of those things, the convention will come.
Oh, yeah, because I guarantee if after this E3 restructuring, and I'm doing air quotes here, restructuring, if the industry sees a decline in profit from the gamers, then I bet you, all of a sudden, then, that original E3, the one we know and love, will be back like it was before.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The power's in our hands. The power's in our hands as gamers.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to squawk about it. Let's just keep squawking about it.
I'm going to keep squawking about it until I see how this thing pans out. And then I'm going to keep squawking because I want to be invited to each of those events. I want to be invited to E3, and I want to be invited to this GamerCon because I want to see just how well these things work. And I want to be able to, bring my kind of perspective on the game thing out, because I think there are a lot of people and a lot of gamers like us who have these opinions that need to be represented. You know, not all of us are hardcore like the OPM staffers. Not that I'm picking on OPM. But I'm just saying.
I'm down with OPM.
Yeah, I used to be down with OPM, and then, the demo disc thing kind of fucked me over, and I was like, okay, screw you hippies.
Time to go.
Yeah, did you put an article on our site about that?
Yes, actually, it was the inaugural post for ESH was the 3D fucked demo disc piece. It's old school. It's in the archives. You can find it. I was kind of pissed off, but anyway. I got pictures, people. So I've been asked a question, about a game by a person who's longer actually in the Skype cast. So hopefully they'll get the podcast because they'll get their answer. But they were wanting to know what any of our opinions were about a game called Trauma Center Under the Knife for the Nintendo DS. Unfortunately, I don't have a Nintendo DS right now. I'm working towards getting one. So I don't really know anything about the game.
What's the name of it?
Trauma Center Under the Knife for the Nintendo DS.
Oh, the surgery game.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't played it. I don't have a DS either, but I've seen reviews on it, read reviews on it and stuff. It looks pretty cool if you're into that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a surgery game with a plot behind it, stop somebody from dying, perform surgery real quickly or something like that. Has a pretty good concept behind it.
Oh my god, you can do a triple bypass in 4 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I want that kind of pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. See, I hadn't even seen that. I probably need to get up on my DS stuff. I'm looking forward to probably picking up one here in the next month or so, and then getting on it. But
so you're just recovering from your 360 hit, Ninja?
Yeah, you know, and I gotta tell you, I'm addicted.
I'll bet.
Talk about me and my addiction.
Okay, but I only play for at least, you know, 2 hours at a time, maybe one or two games in a row, and that's it. Okay? I'm not questing for hours at a time while playing card games with actual people in my vicinity at the same time.
Okay, I get it.
I've never been accused of that.
Okay, okay.
Right. Yeah, she calling you out, Pam?
Yeah. Saying, you know.
I was trying to quest, talk on TeamSpeak, and play Rummy with the family one night.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was an interesting little time.
I would have done it, too, if they hadn't kept pestering me about it, but they wanted some time with Panda.
You meddling people!
So, yeah.
So, anyway, moving on. The next little bit of info that I had was about the HD DVD external drive for the Xbox 360. Because, you know, now that I actually have an Xbox 360, I try to stay in the loop on that stuff a little bit more than usual. And so I got a picture of the actual external hard drive. And what I find really interesting about it is that it's just an external HD DVD drive. So all of the processing, as far as the audio and the video go, are actually done in the Xbox 360. So it's not actually its own standalone unit. It has to be hooked up to an Xbox 360 in order for it to play HD DVD movies.
Now, is this a Microsoft product?
Yes,
or a third
this is
party
a direct
product?
Microsoft product.
Mm-hmm.
They had announced it at E3 and held up a demo unit, but nobody actually really got a whole lot of hands-on time with it because it wasn't completely functional at the time, was the rumor. Some people saw some images of it and looked at the demo box and realized that there was no HDMI port on it, so they were kind of like, well, how on the earth are you guys going to do true HD, you know, high definition if there's no HDMI port? And some of the people, you know, the representatives were real cryptic and were like, if Sony's not going to use an HDMI port, we're not going to use an HDMI port. And they're like, whoa, what's going on? Because on the high end, you know, $600 Sony box, they are using a, what do you call it, HDMI port.
Mm-hmm.
For the Microsoft setup, what they're actually doing is they've just created an external drive, just like you would buy an external DVD burner or whatever. It's just the hardware part. The actual computations are done in the box of the Xbox 360, which makes it a lot easier on the consumer because you can just make an HD drive pretty cheaply, okay? Whereas a standalone box would be probably in around, I think the last estimate that I saw for an HD DVD set-top box was about $500. Well, nobody wants to pay $500 on top of the $400 or $300 that they paid for their Xbox 360 just to watch these movies. Whereas if they just create a drive and have the computer itself do all the computations, where the computer itself has a composite output set up so that you can get HD out of it, which makes more sense, then you can sell that external drive for, you know, around $150, $200 and not lose too much on your overhead and allow your consumers to not be forced into a high-definition DVD player. Because not everybody's ready for HD DVD yet, you know. You got to have a damn, you know, huge-ass HD TV to even make it worthwhile to spend the $400, $500, and $600 that it's going to cost for these HD DVD players, set-top boxes, or, you know, $800, $900, and $1,000 for the Blu-ray set-top boxes. You know, you got to already be balling with like a 50-inch plasma screen to even think about putting that money down on a set-top box. Because I know I wasn't about to upgrade to HD DVD, but if this external drive for the Xbox 360 actually comes out at around a $200 price point or even less, I might consider it.
As long as it doesn't come out around the same time as the Nintendo Wii.
Well, that's the thing, because yeah,
no brainer.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a Wii. There's nothing about that, but there's definitely no doubt about that. I'm like this close to like trying to get my local GameStop guy to seriously just like pre-order me one like now. But
are you trying to get bumped up on the list?
No. Would I want preferential treatment? No, not me. Yes.
Sure.
But Microsoft says that the HD DVD player will be on shelves in time for the holiday shopping season. And seeing as how the Wii is supposed to come out around October, which is the date that seems to be floating around more and more, then that would put it definitely right in the midst of the almost for certain price drop on the Xbox 360 and the PS3 launch, which is in November, and the Nintendo Wii launch in October. So you're going to be broke at Christmas. Just accept it now, people. You will be busted
ass broke.
I'm broke
now. When aren't I broke?
Yeah, well, you're always broke, but, you know, I'm sometimes broke. But you will definitely be broke for Christmas. And I feel bad for the people that have more than one kid, because y'all going to be mad broke. Seriously. Because you got to spend, you know, $300 for an Xbox 360. Then you got to buy at least a year of the Xbox Live subscription. Buy HD DVD external drive for your Xbox. Got to buy the kids a couple of Wiis. That'll probably set you back probably about $400. Then you got to buy a PS3. That'll set you back about $600. Then you got to get games for it. And those games probably cost you about $80. Yeah, that's broke. That's broke at ass. Even Oprah would go, you know
damn,
what?
Damn, I'm so broke I might need food stamps.
Yes. You know, do they still take WIC? That's how broke.
That's
how broke we're talking.
And you know you have trouble on your hands if your 10-year-old kid comes up to you and asks you for a big screen HD capable TV to go along with that too.
Oh yeah, because I can't be playing no PS3 on no 13-inch Ma. Are you crazy? That's not how I roll. This is my super sweet 16.
Oh hey, yeah.
I want 40-inch plasmas in the back of my Hummer. Happy birthday to me. Yeah, I don't see that happening. I really don't.
Yeah, I know.
I really don't. I've been asked if you can buy video games with food stamps, and I'm not... I don't think that's the way the program works. I don't think that's the way the program works. It'd be chill if it did, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Because there'd be some people, you know, at the Toys R Us right there. Okay, one, share it out the book. Two, tearing it out the book. Yeah.
Man, if I could play my college with food stamps, I'd be down with that.
Oh, yeah. You could just walk into the commissary and be like,
Can you imagine the lines to get those food stamps then? You'd think the E3 line was
long. Oh, my God. It'd be unbearable. It'd be unbearable. But you'd have people that wouldn't dog food stamps anymore because you'd be having some, you know, well-to-do type of people.
I just took down a mortgage on my house thanks to my food stamps.
What? Yep. You get Christmas cards from people in the mail and they just be posing with their food stamps.
Yep.
For cake.
Like, I bought my grill on food stamps at layaway.
Anyway, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. But the last little bit of news that I had, because it just, you know, it tickled me in the subcaucal area. It really
Oh,
did.
Really?
Yeah.
Tickle.
Yeah. Rockstar Games came out and said, no, we're not pulling Bully. It is going to be released
in
October.
Take that, Jack Thompson.
Yes, Jack Thompson, suck on it.
Take that.
The game is going to be released in October. We stand completely behind it. Suck on it. And I love that. Like, Rockstar has not been my favorite game company to begin with, because, you know, I have issues with them on all kinds of levels. But I do like the fact that they stand behind everything that they've done and said, you know what? We make entertainment. It's animated violence.
Exactly.
Games do not make people violent. Environments make people violent. So, suck it. We're going to sell it because people are going to buy it. And some people were getting all pissy about it. I mean, because I can already hear, like, the anti-sex and violence game group peoples and like the religious right already like revving up their engines to take this thing on. And I'm going to have to say that they're going to lose on this one. From the hands-on tests that have been done, nobody's seen any blood in the game. Nobody's seen any violence that ends up with anybody dying in the game. Because basically, if you don't know what the game is about, Bully is a game that's centered on a 15-year-old character named Jimmy Hopkins, who's in this like fictional boarding school. That's called, I think it's like Bullworth Academy or something like that. And he has to deal with all these different bullies in the game and people picking on him, like nerds and jocks and all that stuff. And there's like a bunch of weapons. Like there are baseball bats that after you hit something or someone with it a certain amount of time, it breaks. Or there's stink bombs and bags of marbles that you can use, that you can like throw them out, and that if somebody falls, you know, comes across and they fall and stuff like that. So it's pretty much hijinks type weaponry, but basically you got to defend yourself. And everybody just got up in arms because, you know, after the whole hot coffee thing and then with Columbine, they're like, no, you can't make a game with violence with students and it's school, it's wrong. And the worst one was that Florida's Miami-Dade County, their school board asked all the retailers not to sell the game to minors and to require every school district to warn the parents in the area of about the potentially harmful effects of playing violent video games.
Oh my God. Can you get any more ridiculous than that?
I'm just like, okay, first of all, I don't know about you, but I used to play Double Dragon and like Streets of Rage and all kinds of violent video games.
Streets of Rage.
Where you would like break bottles and shank people to get to the next level. And I don't know about you, but I've never even thought about committing aggravated assault.
Me neither.
And
I'm too scared to do it with a shank.
I'm too scared to do it.
Okay. You know, I don't want to go to the pokey. I've seen Oz. I know what happens in jail. I got HBO, okay? I ain't going to jail. I ain't going to jail. You ain't catching me. No. But it's insane. I'm like, you honestly spent time, effort, and taxpayers' money to tell everyone in your community that video games with violence can possibly harm your child?
As opposed to, like, the 25 hardcore gangster CDs that he has in his room somewhere.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, wanting to be like Mario is going to get you hurt more than wanting to be like 50 Cent.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but it's the video games.
Yeah, it's the video games. It's not MTV. Which, by the way, I fully believe that My Super Sweet 16 is the reason why most children today are obsessed
snobby
with color
brat.
Coordinating. But I don't want to say snobby brats, but the preppy color coordinated Paris Hilton worshipping people, you know the type that I'm talking about.
The sidekick wearing
yes,
people.
I totally blame MTV for that. I totally do. But MTV is not a video game. MTV is a consolidated corporate effort. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. Okay, video games do not make people violent. Video games do not make people go out and want to have sex with prostitutes and then kill the prostitute so they can get their money back. That's not what they do.
I know two people who want to have sex with prostitutes.
Yeah.
They don't play video games.
Exactly. That's
and
a great
I don't know,
point.
I don't know if you guys watched Attack of the Show yesterday, but they had Jack Thompson on there on their segment.
Oh,
of the loop. They were talking about this game, Bully. And Adam Sessler just put him in his place big time, and I'm not an Adam Sessler fan. Well, I wasn't until yesterday. And the segment was so good that they posted it on their G4 website. I mean, Adam Sessler just, he put Jack Thompson in his place because the man had no idea what he was talking about.
No, it was obvious.
He had no idea. He tried to make a point about the kid in there, what's his name, Jimmy Hopkins?
Yes.
The main character of the game. Beating up teachers and stuff in there, and Adam Sessler was like, oh, wait a minute, they're not putting that in there. What are you talking about? Rockstar said they're not putting that in there. So, I mean, Jack Thompson had no idea what he was talking about. One of the best segments I've seen on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jack Thompson has never known what he was talking about, because basically he's basically handed a memo with talking points, because he's not a video game player. I guarantee you he never, he wouldn't be able to turn on a PlayStation 2 properly without being coached. Okay? He just has people handing him slates of paper that have some statistics on it that he can use to back up his talking points. Exactly. And throws it out there. That's all that's happening, because he wants to get his name into the papers and get into the media so that it can be seen as though he possesses some kind of power. Just like a lot of politicians are going to be using the sex and violence in video game thing over the next year and a half as one of their main issues that they're going to run their campaign on. Just because it's a hot button topic, because parents don't know what their kids are doing. So if you say, oh my God, your kid could end up being a mass murderer because of the video games he's playing, that they'll go, oh damn, my kid plays video games. I better check into what games he's playing. I don't want him to be a mass murderer. And then the panic starts. And people buy into it because they don't know. You know.
And there was a third guy on there, and he made an excellent point, which I just loved. It was something about they were talking about the violence in video games affecting kids. And the third guy that was on there said, you know, I have two boys who punch and kick each other all the time, and they've never played a video game. You know, it's not the games. It's the parenting. God.
Well, it
Somebody
is.
Get a clue. Somebody get a clue, please.
It really is. Because, I mean, parents just need to be involved with their kids. I think that a lot of what's happened in the past generation that's had problems and had violence that spiked among children in a younger age was that most of those kids were kids in a two-parent or one-parent home where, you know, the parents just weren't as involved. I mean, when we were playing video games, our mother knew every game that we played, and everything had to be approved before
Same
it got
here.
Brought into the house.
Same
okay.
here.
And so,
I mean, it took some serious convincing to let my mom let us play Double Dragon on the 8-bit Nintendo, because she was just opposed to it. It took some serious convincing. I remember that. God,
it took us, I think, about 3 days before we could get our mom to let us get Mortal Kombat. And we had to beg and plead. And it was just when it had started making the rounds on the news circuit as being this uber-violent, you know, game that was going to turn your kids into mass murderers. And so, of course, at that point, she didn't want to hear
it. Because I'm a mass murderer.
Yeah. I murder people in their sleep.
I just couldn't wait to go outside and just perform a super bicycle kick on somebody with a finish him move at the end.
Yeah, yeah, I do that all the time. You know, people just don't know, but I do. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
It's cool like that. You know, and so I think that as long as people keep talking about and bringing up the points, you know, like Sessler did, because I agree, I have never been an Adam Sessler fan, but after that particular segment on Attack of the Show, which I usually try to avoid like the plague, I had a lot more respect for him, because Jack Thompson is an asshole. He is. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't actually investigate any of the things that he talks about, and so you can't have an actual decent debate or conversation, because I'm always open to open conversation. I think most gamers are, but I think that we're going to be on, you know, the shit list for the next year, because I think you're going to see that a lot of the gaming issues as far as sex and violence are going to be the targets in politics. And so I think that once November starts rolling around, that's all you're going to start seeing are people picking games that they can try and pick a hole on because they have a little bit, you know, of a sexual tinge or a violent tinge to them. And you're going to find that just like, you know, when hip-hop started going in a more gangster direction than, you know, hip-hop direction, you're going to have to start defending the fact that you're a gamer.
And, you know, people like Jack Thompson, they don't realize that they're doing more harm than good. Because I was never a Grand Theft Auto fan until people started saying how, you know, oh, this game, you know, is so controversial. That piqued my interest. So the more people like Jack Thompson say, oh, Bully is going to be this horrible game, that's the more kids are going to want to go for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you don't say anything about it at all, then they're more likely just to steer away from it. You know, but the more hype you make about this game, whether it's good or bad, that's going to make them want to go out and get it.
I mean, I didn't know about this Bully game until I started seeing all of the press around it that was negative. Because I hadn't heard about it. And so they just don't understand. And I don't think that they ever will. And I don't think that it's an age difference thing or anything like that. I think that it's just because they don't know, they don't understand.
Yeah.
And it sucks. So it's up to us to educate them.
Why stop at the games? I mean, if you think the games are corrupting the minds of youth these days, then go after the movie industry. Go after the music industry.
Oh, but we can't go after the movie industry because the movie industry has lobbyists. See, the game industry doesn't have any lobbyists.
Yeah.
If we had lobbyists, you know, wouldn't be a problem.
So
anyway,
true.
I think that's it. I think we're going to wind it down because it's just about time. So.
Well, it's fun.
In the meantime, keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, home of the best girl gaming.
The fucking best.
I'm sorry. The fucking best girl gaming and anime podcast ever.
And for all you World of Warcraft fans, the uber best.
Yeah.
Uber. Yeah. Leroy Jenkins. Inside joke.
Oh, my gosh.
No. They
okay.
all know.
Okay. Yeah.
More ducks. More ducks.
Anyway.
Okay. Keep commenting on our articles. Keep sending us submissions for the galleries because we love seeing that stuff come in. We love hearing from you. You can give us a call at 1-888-333-8985. It's a toll-free number, so it's a free call for you. It's
free love for us.
And we love that free love. We want to hear what you have to say, people. If it's a cool enough comment, we'll put it in the podcast or we'll post it on the website. I'm seriously thinking about posting comments on the website that come to us in voicemails so that you can hear what our users are actually saying to us, even if we decide not to use it in the podcast. So anyway, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we want to thank Deuces Wild for sitting in with us on this very experimental.
Thanks for having me, ladies.
Well, we're definitely going to have to do this again. We want to thank
everybody
in the Skype cast room. Thanks for coming to the room. Thanks for participating
in the cast. Give a shout out to my Skype cast homies.
Yep, to all my Skype cast homies, all the homies on Skype. And this podcast is toast. So what are you going to do with your toast?
I think the spirit of wow, I'm going to put it in the auction house and sell it for money.
Why am I not surprised?
I'm sorry.
I'm totally not surprised.
Stamina.
Me?
What are you going to do?
I think I'm going to take my toast and I'm going to make two pieces of toast and I'm going to make myself a peanut butter toast sandwich. And I'm going to eat that while I go and get my freaking B-minus ranking back from DOA 4.
Because
I'm so tired of being a freaking C+.
I'm giving my toast to Adam Sessler. It's all yours, man.
Alright. So anyway, for all of us here at ESH and our guests, Deuce and Skypecasters, you get a shout out too, Mr. Guest. Yeah, I'm talking to you. We're out.
And we're out.